From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a privilege to be in studio. I couldn't be here if it wasn't for many of you who stand with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. And for that, I'm deeply grateful. Of course, we live in tumultuous times. And when principles of the times run against our deepest conviction, battle is our calling. Peace has become sin. We must, at the price of dearest peace, lay our convictions bare before friend and enemy alike with all the fervor of our faith, or as Abram Kuyper said, with all the fire of our faith. And that is why I'm so grateful for those who are standing with me in the battle for life and truth. It makes a difference in the lives of people worldwide. Our ministries circle the globe, quite frankly, not only through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, what we do through the Christian Research Institute, through our journal, through the website, and so much more. We do face daunting challenges in this world, but we have great opportunities. Technology has opened the door for those opportunities, and this is the time to seize them. We can make a transformational difference. Kingdoms come and go. But the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ is eternal, and our investments in that kingdom will yield eternal treasure. Remember, a handful of disciples empowered by the Spirit turned the world right side up, and you and I can do the same. We can make a difference. There's always the truth of the power of one. One empowered by the Spirit can stand against the multitude. So for those of you who are supporting the ministry, please accept my deepest gratitude for your partnership and the difference it makes in so many lives. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants on the web at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. So many hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up is James. He's listening in New York, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for your ministry, and I want to thank you for the work you're doing for the body of believers. Our question is on Revelation 19 and 20. What does the Bible say about, will any Christians take the mark? Or can you tell me something about how Satan is going to try to deceive the masses with that mark?
Well, I think what you have to remember is that on the basis of the book of Revelation, the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, just as the mark of the beast identifies identity with the beast. And so we're already marked out. You have a mark as I have a mark. That does not mean we have a visible mark. It means that what we do in our worldview identifies us in terms of who we belong to. And that is true both for believers or unbelievers. And thus, whether you had a mark or not, people would know whether you're a follower of Christ. You think about what's happening in Syria, where you had, I think it was 6 women and 2 men who were demanded to convert to Islam. They refused, and what happened? They were killed. No one had to wonder whether they were Christians or not because they refused to convert to Islam. They stayed true to the cause of Christ, and as a result of that, they were, in case of the women, raped and then brutally killed. The men were crucified. In fact, one man had to watch as his son, I think he was 12 years old, has his fingertips cut off so that the agony of the son would cause him to renounce the name of Christ, and he did not. So again, his actions and his worldview identified him as belonging to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Mark of the Beast is not a physical mark. It is the mark of what you do and your worldview.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And remember that I give that answer with all due respect to those who would disagree, not on the basis of my own opinion, which has very little value, but rather my opinion is based clearly on testing Scripture or reading Scripture in light of Scripture. There's an entry that I wrote on that in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. There's a section on this very question. Also, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, both of those resources available through the ministry. And for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Dalton. He's listening in Sherwood Park, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Dalton.
Hey, Hank. I have a couple of atheists I've been online with, and they're kind of belligerent. One of them asked me, or rather insulted me by saying, you'd rather believe in something that's false just because it gives you hope and comfort. What a sad, sad person you are. Can you give me some input there?
Yeah, I think that with all due respect, he sadly mistakes reality. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands, which is to say that if you live in the universe, you know there has to be a universe maker. If you are stumbling down a path on a deserted island and found a basketball, you wouldn't say that basketball just came out of thin air. You would immediately suppose that the intricacies of a basketball presuppose a basketball maker. And that is true with something far more complex as well, and that is the universe in which we reside. So God's eternal power, divine nature seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. And by the way, not only do we believe because there's this outer testimony, but we also believe because there's an inner testimony, which is to say we have the light of conscience. God has written a knowledge of himself on the canvas of your consciousness. And logically, every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So you're not believing vainly. You're believing because all of the evidence points in the direction of an uncaused first cause.
Okay. Thank you very much. I totally agree with your, if you're in a universe, you probably will believe in a universe maker because of the intricacies of it. It does not make sense to me when I look at the evidence and points to how complex and how unlikely is something that's this complex can come out of just thin air.
Sure. And the other thing that you may want to say, the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the supreme act of God's self-revelation. And that is to say that Christ has come and he has resurrected himself from the dead. The evidence for that is overwhelming. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul makes a four-part argument that Christ died, he suffered fatal torment, that he appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. You know, Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ, and that Jesus Christ, through his resurrection, transformed scared, scattered disciples. Now, it's conceivable that someone will die for what they sincerely believe to be true, but it is inconceivable that thousands upon thousands would voluntarily die for what they know to be a lie. When the sword is unfurled, you might well say, I was just kidding. So there are those who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his post-resurrection appearances. And when you think about James, a classic example, he was embarrassed by everything Jesus stood for, and then Jesus appeared to him. And what did James say? He called himself a bondservant of Christ. He became the leader of the Jerusalem church and eventually was martyred for his faith. I always say this, you have to ask yourself what it would take for someone to willingly die for the notion that one of his family members is God. Only the resurrection of Jesus Christ can account for that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. And of course, the atheist is using a tactic. He's exerting sneer pressure rather than giving an argument. But his expression of accusing someone of believing, as Christians do solely because of the comfort they receive, can be said of his worldview as well. He does not want God to exist, and so he takes comfort in his belief in atheism. So the sword cuts both ways. Remember what Jesus said, light came into dark because men loved the dark rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. And in saying that, Jesus made plain that the problem is never that there's not enough light. The problem is that men love darkness. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stay tuned for that.
The prophet Isaiah declared, "This is the way, walk in it." The way Isaiah was speaking of is the way of the cross, God's way to the good and beautiful life. In their new book, The Cross Before Me, Pastor Rankin Wilburn and philosopher Brian Greger explain that the call to Christ's cross is in fact a call to love, joy, and peace, not just for eternity, but for life today, here and now. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
In the new book, The Cross Before Me, Pastor Rankin Wilburn and philosopher Brian Greger offer a provocative perspective on why the cross is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. Drawing on biblical truth and historical writings, they ask, why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? And what does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to delight in surrendering our own power and embracing the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? What does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? These are some of the questions Pastor Rankin Wilborn and philosopher Brian Greger address in their new book, The Cross Before Me. The cross of Jesus is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to surrender our own power and embrace the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gladys next. She's listening in Chicago, Illinois, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gladys.
Hi there. I really enjoy your ministry. I thank God for it.
Oh, thank you.
My question has to do with Jesus saying that he wants his believers to be the salt and light of the earth. And when he put in that the salt, if it loses its savor, he put that in. And if the light is dimmed, is that a reflection of losing your testimony?
I think that's certainly part of it. And you're right to say that Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And then went on to say, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So I think you've rightly pointed out that your testimony is diminished when you lose your saltiness or when you take your light and hide it. And that can be done in a lot of different ways. But what we are called to do is let our light shine forth, and we're called to be a preservative in the culture, which salt would be in meat, and certainly they would have understood that in ancient times. This is still true today. We are a preservative in the same sense in the culture.
So if you lose that saltiness, it's not a preservative anymore. So you can't make it salty again. So what is the implication there?
Well, I don't think that you can make the words here in terms of analogy walk on all fours. The point is simply that we are called to be not microcosms of the world, but change agents in the world. And if we are nothing but mere microcosms of the world, we were never salt to begin with.
I see. Okay, so that goes back to the question is, are you really saved?
Yeah, there are a lot of people who have a said faith as opposed to a real faith. And so again, from their perspective, all they had to do was follow a formula, pray a particular prayer in a particular way, and they're in. They now have an insurance policy that keeps them out of a bad place and gets them into a good place. But Christianity is far more than that. Christ not only came to save us by his death, but he came to save us into or unto his life. He has come that we might have life and life to the full, and that is what it means to live the engrafted life. We have died. It is Christ that now lives within us.
Okay, thank you.
Bless you, Gladys. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chad. He's listening in El Dorado Hills, California, on the web. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my phone call. My question is, why are there more than just Christianity as a religion? I understand why there's unbelievers, but why are there other religions out there?
Well, you know, Paul answered that question when he said, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves, so be on your guard. So that is one of the answers. But remember that in essence, in macro categories, there are only two kinds of belief systems. One is a belief that you can reach up and become acceptable to God by living a good life, by obeying the Ten Commandments, by going around and around through many different lives until finally you become one with Nirvana or one with the universe. I mean, they're all man's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to a higher power or to God. Christianity is precisely in the opposite direction. It is not us reaching up, but God reaching down. And He has reached down to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the personification of divine love. He is the personification of God. All the fullness of God dwelt in Him in bodily form. And so the religion, if you will, based on Jesus Christ is a religion that has substance, it's rooted in reality, and it makes complete sense, which is to say it corresponds to reality. Again, if you want to look in categories, what do we have? Well, you can have pantheism, which says all is God, God is all. Philosophical naturalism, which says that nothing creates everything. Non-life creates life, and the non-life that creates life ends up producing not only life in a physical sense, but life in a metaphysical sense as well. And then, along with philosophical naturalism, you have this idea that is codified in man directing everything according to the dictates of his own will. I think probably the better way of saying that would be that there is pantheism, there's philosophical naturalism, and then there's Christian theism. So there are only three large categories in that sense. Back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Brad in Modesto, California. Hi, Brad.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I have a question. I read your book, Apocalypse Code, and that cleared a lot of things up for me. So I was wondering, when John says that he saw heaven coming out of the clouds and meet the earth, was that a judgment for the heavens?
No, not at all. What John says is, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then he heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. And this speaks to two things. One is that there is going to be a perfected bride, and that perfected bride will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. It also speaks to the reality that the universe that now groans in travail is going to be liberated from its bondage to decay. And that's why John says later on in that same context that there's going to be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Why? Because the old order of things has passed away. And then He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new, and then told John, write it down. You can trust these words. They're trustworthy and true. So this is about the eternal state, the perfected bride, and the new Jerusalem. And ultimately, if you continue going through Revelation chapter 21, you see that that bride is symbolized as a city. And the reason we know that is not only from what I quoted previously, but also later on in that same passage, John says, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And of course, that is the church, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. But he also shows us the river of the water of life is clear as crystal in Revelation chapter 22, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. So this is a picture of the renewed universe in which we will live forever. God Himself will provide the light. So there's no need for the sun, there's no need for the moon. God Himself will give them light, and then we will reign forever and ever with a resurrected Christ in a renewed universe.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it and appreciate your time and everything you do. So God bless you and all that are yours.
Thank you, Brad. God bless you as well, and God's blessings to everyone listening in. I am deeply appreciative to those who stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I feel like I need to be out this time of the year raising resources so the ministry can continue, but I also feel that I can leave that in the hands of the Holy Spirit, just let you know what the need is, and continue working. I'm working around the clock, and so are the staff members at the Christian Research Institute, so that we can be salt and light, that we can be a lamp not hidden by a bowl, but a lamp that shines out so that the world might see the light of Jesus Christ. Again, my deep appreciation for all those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, and my invitation to those that do not yet stand with us prayerfully and financially to consider doing that. It would be deeply appreciated, your resources used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You're given in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Resource consultants, as always, standing by 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.